Ideas matter. Ideas matter. This is Dialogue.
Hello and welcome to Dialogue. Over the past few years, the world has experienced significant changes, initially with the onset of COVID and more recently with the Ukraine conflict. These events have led to the slowdown in global economic growth and ongoing restructuring of geopolitical and trade frameworks. How can we address these rising political and economic challenges? Today, I'm joined by Daniela Bobeva, former Deputy Prime Minister of Bulgaria, to delve into these topics and explore more about the bilateral ties between China and Bulgaria. Welcome to Dialogue, ma'am. You know, if you take a look around the world, we see regional conflicts, you know, crisis, and probably one of the also biggest challenges is really about the tensions between the U.S. and China here. And of course, we are having, the U.S. is together with South Korea hosting this another edition of a global democracy summit, by saying democracy. That means, you know, U.S. is a democracy, China is not one. So that's part of the political differences or ideological differences between the country. How do you see the tensions between the two countries? In what way is impacting this global economic cooperation?
Well, you're right. We live in a very particular situation, and unfortunately, there is no clear way ahead what we are going to do. So we blame normally the COVID crisis, and everything turned in a very negative position afterwards. What worried me is related with my background. I lived in two systems. The previous one, the socialist system, which we totally changed into a market economy. We were taught and we weren't. And we did a big transformation of our government-led economy to a market economy. And what was this? Privatization, liberalization of prices, and open borders for trade and for investment. Now, what we do? Totally different. So it seems to me that we are going back to the past, which we rejected to continue and we transform. So we have benefited a lot from open market for foreign goods and our goods to be traded abroad and also investment. We had periods of our life when we had 15% of our economy dependent fully on foreign investment. So now we changed the whole paradigm. For example, recently the European Union adopted mechanism for screening of foreign investments from countries outside from European Union for the purpose of national security. So all of a sudden everything became national security. So this is a big challenge that we change the things not in the right direction to me.
Mm-hmm. If you focus on the China-U.S. relationship here, obviously we are seeing the U.S. is making efforts to rebuild this supply chain, for example, or decoupling from China. We do see de-risking, you know, EU-China too here. And some people say, the key differences is between the political systems or ideologies, you know. But at the end of the day, it's really about, whether it's effective, whether it delivers. Shouldn't that be the judgment or the standards of if we want to judge the performance of a system?
Yeah, I like your comment very much. So let's go back to the history. We cannot apply our concepts of democracy to China. We cannot apply our national concepts of democracy to any other country. But China is different. Let me remark that in the past, when we had socialist system, China was different. China is always different. We have to learn about China. We are not the one to teach China what to do. Democracy is about what the people want and how much they want freedom of everything. Or let's remember what Platon was saying, that democracy is the rules and somebody should impose the rules. While Thomas More, for example, he was considering democracy as a society that the state is very important to distribute all the resources to the people. So there are so many different types of democracy, but this is what we wanted, as much as we wanted. I lived in the previous system when we didn't have private property, we didn't have freedom to speak. Yes, I have all this now together in my country, but it doesn't mean that this is perfect system. The system is as perfect as the people want it. And I think that Chinese, at least since the Yellow River was flooding, Chinese know what they want. So this is their way. Leave them live in their way.
Mm-hmm. Well, speak of that, of course, Chinese people or Chinese culture probably plays an important role, which stresses very much about, being pragmatic. You know, whether the system works, that's important. If you look at the Chinese system, it delivers a lot. For example, poverty alleviation, we are talking about the millions, hundreds of millions of people being lifted out of poverty. And if you look at the US system, they would say, we enjoy more, freedom, more choices. But at the same time, you do see problems like the gang shooting instance, like this, largest prison population, for example, drug problem, homelessness. Every system seems they have their own challenges and also their strength. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think so. Our democracy, the European democracy, is quite different from the American one. Why? Because in the past, when the Americas were conquered, the first one who took the boats were the people with entrepreneurial kind of spirit. Those who didn't want to move, they felt comfortable at home, they remained in Europe. And we are still the same. So Americans are different from Europeans in terms of taking risks. Look at our, for example, capital markets. How much flourishing is the American one, while we have more modest and more stable, more banking system. So you see that democracy as a concept is quite different. It depends on the substance, the culture, the people, how they behave, all this. So we are different. So I'm really very curious about how we could think that somebody could take into account our model of democracy. It is not perfect. Yes, it is not perfect. For example, gun shooting, all this, what is going on in the States, it is part of what Americans want, to have guns at home. This is not the culture in my country. We totally oppose this. So there are differences, and we have to tolerate the differences.
That's a good point, tolerance, be tolerant probably with each other, of each other here. We have different systems, even, under the kind of similar style of democracy, people, countries could be different because of different national conditions. I mean, ultimately,
it's up to Sorry interrupting you, but there is one of the criticism about minorities and how you deal with, and we deal with the minorities. So we have a long lasting experience with minorities. We have Turkish minority in Bulgaria. In the past, they were in the previous system. They were involved in society on every level. They were trying to be fully integrated. When the reform started at the beginning of 90s, what happened with this minority? They made a stupid decision, sorry for this word, to rename them, to put them Bulgarian names instead of Turkish names. So there is millions of Turkish origin Bulgarians left for Turkey. But we survived this whole problem, and now we live so much in peace, and politically they are presented in the governments very often. And I think this is our model. This is the way we did it, but we had very bitter past, and we learned from the mistakes, and now we live in peace, and this minority is very well integrated. I have more of my students of Turkish origin. I teach them, they are equal, they behave equal, they are very well integrated, but they protect their ethnicity and their identity, which is nice. So talking about minorities, it is too complicated and very sensitive issue, and every country will find a way. But when you push the minorities, it is really not good, because at the end it comes back as very bad situation.
That is true. I mean, in China, there is a preferential policies for the minority, ethnic minorities. And of course, you know, ultimately, you know, whether a government or a national system that is right or that suits the development of a particular country is really up to the people. Yeah. You know, if you look at this, you know, national consensus, you know, nation by nation consensus, for example, often you find that the approval rate of the Chinese government stands at like more than 80%. Sometimes sometimes even higher. So that's not the Chinese consensus, you know, census, Chinese polls. That's an American company, you know, based on American company. They're doing it like a year by year after that. Of course, the Chinese people have their complaints, their problems, you know, they expect more problems sometimes from the government. But in general, that, you know, you are familiar with the Chinese situation. So can we say, oh, the system so far works pretty well with China?
I think that, again, there is misunderstanding about China. For example, I have studied Chinese investments abroad, including in European Union, in Bulgaria, and some other big economies. So what worries some of the economists, I'm not talking about politicians, so their job is just to make all this politically accessible, or I don't know. But from economic and, as you mentioned, pragmatic point of view, what is the worry is that large state-owned companies' investments are not understood by the Europeans and the Americans and most of the developed countries. For example, in my country, in Bulgaria, we don't have any single investment from state-owned company from European Union because we have very less government. So your system, economic system, is more government. Ours is minimum or not at all government. So, but these are different models and we have to adjust on both sides on this. I have studied very in details, company by company, foreign Chinese investments in Bulgaria. So what I realized is that the pattern is different from Germany investing a lot in Bulgaria. For example, Chinese companies, they always have Bulgarian partner when they invest in Bulgaria. And second, what they do is that they invest and export most of the production back to China. This is the perfect model. This suits our economy purposes, etc. Perfect. That's perfect because we have always had negative trade balance with China. We import more than we export. Let me tell you one interesting example. I have asked my students to make an exercise, look around their houses, their rooms, and put in the list the first 20 goods in their houses. What is the origin, where they were produced? Could you imagine what is the result? Between 35 to 40% Chinese produced goods. In most of the cases, more than Bulgarian made goods at home. So China is our home. Wish or not wish, that's the reality. So let's try to invest more in the countries. Let's have more export, Chinese export from Chinese companies in our countries. I think this is a very good model, which at least for Bulgaria suits perfectly. And it is up to us, I mean, also from Bulgaria, to make all this happen. It's not just Chinese waiting at the border for them to come. It is to be more proactive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned several interesting points here. You know, one of them is probably the Chinese model, if we can say so. You know, there are state-owned companies, there are private companies, you know, there are big companies, there are small and medium-sized companies, you know, foreign companies. It's kind of a mix. You know, it's very hard to probably define according to the, I don't know, traditional economic theory probably. But the key point is over the past 40 plus years, it worked and it's quite successful if you look at the growth of the Chinese economy. Is that the case? Can we say so?
Yes. China did a remarkable progress. So within the current political system to do such kind of progress, but let's don't look only on the past. Let's look at the present. China does green transition, which we dream to have in Europe. So it is very well planned, a remarkable progress, one by one. So China is doing something which is even more difficult for us to do, although the model, democracy, and a lot of, but what we learned from China, I think, is that we are trying to do a green transition in our economies more led by the governments, which will fail. We are not China. We cannot do what China does. The problem is that basically, we go to your direction. We have the European Union with the rules and procedures, directives, regulations, so let's do it. What China does is that green transition is civilization choice. So we have to recognize that it is not the government. It is what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And we have to do more. Separating the garbage, turning off the lights, all these things help. Talking about only money, you'll get this money if you close down this enterprise, it doesn't work. So I think that China is, everybody deals now with slowdown of the economic growth of China. Yes, China's economic growth, by the way, it always exceeds the forecast for the Chinese economy. But what China does is what the world does. If you have a recession in Germany, if you have more countries in European Union, let's face it, we have in European Union less economic growth than Russia and Ukraine, which are in a war. So we are so much interconnected that if China slows down, partly this is due to the overall situation and the debut of the most awful way of protectionism we are creating, which is, of course, China will be affected by this.
We know that the EU has launched an unprecedented investigation into a Chinese train manufacturer for allegedly using subsidies to undercut the European suppliers or competitors. Of course, this is following what the one another investigation, let's say, last year into the EVs, electric vehicles from China. So in what way, these kind of, let's say, investigation or possible limits, for example, will also affect or may affect China and Bulgaria's trade and economic relationship?
As I mentioned at the beginning, we are in a circle of protectionist measures taken by many countries to protect their domestic market, which I'm a liberal economist. I strongly believe that this is wrong. It could help to defend your local market to a certain period of time, but sooner or later, you'll go to high inflation and consumers will suffer. So there are so many damages from this kind of policy, which are proven by so many economists in the last, since Adam Smith, so more than 300 years. It was proven that this kind of creating obstacles doesn't help to the economy. But we are in this circle, at least on the side of the European Union. I think that it is very much related with the WTO debate. Should we continue with liberalizing more or liberalizing less? If we talk about subsidies, let's go to the WTO. We failed to negotiate this question of subsidies. We broadly subsidize our agricultural products. I mean, we European Union, you know that the new members like Bulgaria, mm-hmm. we are not entitled to the same size of subsidies for agriculture as the old members of the European Union. So we are in a disadvantaged position anyway. But if we start talking about subsidies, there is no end of this story because we do subsidize also in Europe. Everybody subsidizes explicitly or implicitly, brutally or intelligently, but we do. We do subsidies, so we have to agree on this. Okay, if you subsidize cars, we have to talk about our subsidies or something else. It is like this. I was trade minister in 20 years ago. Trade is beautiful, but you need to have good strengths to negotiate.
That's true. You know, last year, for example, China had, you know, contributed to the global economic growth by 30%, which is the same actually over the past 5-10 years. You know, do you think there's also probably lack of understanding or misunderstanding of the Chinese development? You know, if you look at the U.S. efforts to decouple or European Union's efforts to de-risk from China, you know, is a negative kind of trend in the European Union toward China, the relationship between the two sides? Is that the case?
I think that it is a political will in the West to decouple or to be emancipated from China. But currently, it is not possible, not only because of the value chains. The main issue is that we have slowed down the transformation into a more digital economy, to more high technologies. I mean, I'm thinking about the European Union and particularly in my country also. So we cannot progress. We cannot catch up to China technologically. Without cooperating with China. Yes, we could, but this will cost a very prolonged period of catching up, too long and politically not acceptable for our democratic societies. So we are in a very, very difficult choice, very sensitive choice now. And we should learn from China to be more, you mentioned this, pragmatic and calm. This will help us catching up with technology and all these things, and in the same time not interrupt what we have built already as cooperation with China and European Union. Let me mention that's very curious issue that currently, you know, who is the managing director of the IMF? This is Mrs. Kristalina Georgieva. She is going to apply for another term as managing director of the IMF. Mm-hmm. So Bulgarian. Yes. Who is managing director, president of the new development bank, so-called BRICS bank? This is Dilma Rousseff, who also
from
has
Brazil.
Bulgarian origin. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we have two Bulgarian girls on the top of financial architecture. I very much hope that they will try to find a way for cooperation and all these financial and economic flows will be not interrupted because this will cause a lot of difficulties for the people. At the end, we, the people, will suffer.
And let's focus a little bit on the China-Bulgaria, you know, trade. Earlier you mentioned about, you know, this quite rapid development, you know, of relationship between the two countries. Here's some numbers, like in 2012, you know, the trade volume between the two countries were $2 billion, U.S. dollars. And then 10 years later, in 2022, it increased to $4 billion. So in 10 years' time, the trade volume has doubled. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Thank you. It is related with our economy development, how much we need from China. During COVID, our GDP dropped by 4% and a little bit more. While in 2021, we had 7.5% kind of Chinese economic growth, very fast economic growth. And then the demand for resources increased and for foreign trade in Bulgaria increased. And that was the reason. But in 2022, the good news is that we still have not so big inflow, but still quite large inflow. But it's not the size precisely. It is what we import. We import panels for our renewable energy. We cannot do our green transition without import from China. So everything what is related with our green transition comes from China. Okay, most of it. So this is the quality of input is important because we import not only green transition related assets, but also we import high technologies, computers, we import phones. By the way, Huawei does a good job in Bulgaria. So the high quality of what we import from China should encourage us to continue supporting and not creating any obstacles. So we are one of the most open for trade economy. So Chinese importers have no any difficulties in Bulgaria, neither Chinese investors in Bulgaria.
What do you see as the potential if you look ahead at this possible cooperation between China and Bulgaria, you know, for the sake of the economic growth of both countries?
To speak about this, I have a long list to-do list in this. So first of all, it took China many years to open its market for these products due to some non-tariff restrictions, some quality controls and regulations, etc. So now we have seen progress in this simply because of more liberalizing and demolishing all these non-tariff restrictions on both sides, not on the side of Bulgaria so much. We should sit down and decide about all this. So we need to remove. Bulgaria is not going to kill the Chinese market. We are small, relatively small exporter. So in this perspective, imposing limitations, I don't think will hurt the Chinese market. So this is the first, we should sit together and work it out. Second, I'll capitalize on something very negative which is happening nowadays. This is this the new regime for screening of foreign investments. I know that China has some a regime for screening FDIs. Now, because we are part of the European Union and we are obliged to do the same.
With that, we come to the end for today's show. Many thanks to our guests. You can also find us on the CGTN app on YouTube. I'm Xu Qinduo. Thanks for being with us. See you next time.